Let us remain standing for scripture reading. Please meditate on the word as I read. Today's scripture is from Mark 8, verses 22 to 25. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were open. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. This is the word of God. Brother and sister, please be seated. Let's welcome Pastor Lee Kai for the word today.
Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Father, your children are here. You want to open our heart to you. You have something to speak into our heart and grant our heart the tenderness to receive your word and the will to be strengthened to follow you, what you're going to tell us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We designed the theme today as a partial sight and persistent savior. You've not seen me when I was young, so when I was young, I wear specs. So my power degree was about 900 and 1,000 on each side of my eye. 有深度, huh? Yeah. So when I play sports, I sometimes do break my glasses. And when I break my glasses, and sometimes I don't have spare glasses, and I have to go through the day straining my eyes and leaning my head forward, trying to figure out what is the things that I'm looking at. And sometimes I can't trust what I'm looking at also. Because when you see the buses, you can't see the number on the bus. When you see people, you can't recognize the face of the people there. So sometimes you do not know what you're seeing and you are as good as half blind. I think on spiritual level, we also sometimes live that way too. We are not completely blind. We've seen God moved and we experienced God's prayer, answered prayer, and we know about Sunday school's answer and can quote verses, and we show in church and we sing song. But sometimes if we are honest to ourselves, our vision sometimes of God is also as blurry as it is. We see something but not clearly. We know God is faithful, but sometimes we panic over certain things in life, and we know Christ is always sufficient. But sometimes as we go through life, we are so anxious about things that as if everything is under our control, depends on us. And we're supposed to pursue things of eternal value, but we end up chasing things of temporal, of this earth. So actually, we are quite like the blind man over here, half blind, and we see, but we don't see as clearly. I think the big idea for today's sermon is summarized over here. The healing of the blind man at Bethsaida was gradual, which serves as a metaphor for the disciples and also for us here. Although we have seen miracles, our heart remained blurred and unclear. Yet, this Savior does not give up because of our dullness. Instead, he touches, he guides, and he patiently perseveres with us again and again until we truly see. So before we go into the text of this blind man, we need to understand why did Mark place this story here? So that has to come to our context. So in this context, we need to know what's happened ahead of us. Before healing of this blind man, Mark intentionally mentioned about in chapter 6, the feeding of 5,000, and chapter 8, the feeding of 4,000. So feeding of 5,000, they use 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The 5,000 are fed, and they have 12 basketful left over. Feeding on the 4,000, they have 7 loaves and a few fishes. 4,000 are fed, and 7 basketful left over. So both miracles proclaim the truth that Jesus is abundantly sufficient. He is sufficient. So immediately after this feeding of 4,000, in Mark chapter 8, Jesus got into the boat with the disciples. And while the disciples, then they panicked because they forgot to bring bread with them. probably they have to starve after that. So that's why in verse 14, it says that the disciples forgotten to bring bread except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. After we have seen Jesus perform two miracles before, so logically you should assume that we, even though we have one bread or one loaf, but what do we have? Or who do we have beside us? We have the bread of life beside us. He's the source of all this. He is sitting beside us. If Jesus has multiplied the loaf of bread before, and how much more if this one loaf of bread? Definitely is more than enough. But instead of thinking this way, they began to panic. Because why? Because their fear is not because of the lack of resource, it's because of the lack of understanding. And that is why Jesus said in verse 17, 18, and 21, it's keep repeating. Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still do not see or understand? Do you have eyes but fail to see? Verse 21, repeat again, do you still do not understand? And that is the context of this text we read before right now. So immediately after this rebuke, then it happened with this healing of the blind. And Mark has a purpose to put this story here, not as a randomly placed, but it's a living parable of the disciples' condition and also our condition. We are half blind. So first of all, the first point, our helpless state. We cannot find him on our own, our helpless state. The text mentioned when Jesus and the disciples came to Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man there. There's a word, some people brought. So there are three groups of character here. Some people, the blind man, and Jesus. Over here, the story, he did not hear anything about this blind man. He did not say anything. He did not do anything. As compared to the blind man in Mark chapter 10, Bartimaeus, in chapter 10, the blind man was shouting when he heard about Jesus passing. He was shouting, crying, Son of David, have mercy on me. Help me, help me, heal me. But this blind man here, he remained totally silent. Nothing being mentioned over here. He does not cry out. He does not run to Jesus. He didn't even ask for healing. So even though he did not do anything here, he did not come to Jesus on his own, even though he was trapped in the world of darkness and probably isolation, but God still used people, some people in his life, to surround him, to bring him to Jesus. In our modern context, this is the role of sojourner. The sojourner that we need to model after. Sometimes it's not just enough to tell someone, hey, Jesus is there, just go there and you'll be healed. It is also about journeying with someone in your life. Journeying those who can't see, those who are in the world of darkness. And this is the beauty of our Christian ministry. I'm not sure, have you helped a blind man while you're traveling on MRT or train or buses? Sometimes if you want to help a blind man to walk a certain place, you have to follow their steps and their pace. And sometimes you have to be slow. So if you want to help a blind man, you have to follow their pace, holding their hand and be as patient as possible. Carrying them when they cannot see Christ. This week, past week, Wednesday, our staff meeting, we have some time of sharing. I think Priscilla shared a testimony. I think it's well shared and encourages us. I think I want to share to you guys today. I think it may encourage you also. Before Priscilla came to serve in Agape, she was working in a company, as an accountant. So she had an ex-colleague we've known for many years. This ex-colleague of hers, her parents passed on when she was young. And she doesn't have any siblings, but she has one boyfriend. This boyfriend that been with her for many, many years. They cohabit together. This lady is a non-Christian. So, but one day, this boyfriend of hers left her. For some reason, left her, and she got nowhere to stay. She's not a Singaporean, so she got nowhere to stay. No place to stay and no next of kin in her life. Her world was totally dark, without any hope to live on. So at such a low point in her life, Victor and Priscilla reached out to her. They invited her to stay with them at their home for months. So for months, this lady, after she knocked off from her work, she just returned to their home and there's food laid out for her. warm food, warm soup, and while she was eating, tears just flow. Do you know how much it means for someone without a family and a home to stay? So she felt the warmth of a home, and more so, she felt the love of God from Victor and Priscilla. And sometimes gospel is lived out was so much powerful than just words. As we live out the love of the gospel, it's so much powerful than words. So many people came to church, may not because of you won the argument, but probably because of someone who have journeyed with them in their darkest point of their life. So, but these people did not just bring the blind to Jesus. They did one more thing further than that. They begged Jesus. The verses say that they begged Jesus to touch him. If you read the word beg, it sounds very lowly. But it is something that is intense. It's something of important. Normally, we put our things first in life. We'll be desperate for our own things. But if you have to be desperate to be begging for someone, that means you really care for that person. Enough that you're willing to lower your posture to beg for the person. I think many Christians, sometimes we stop too early. We may bring someone to church and we may just think our job is done. But these people here, they keep pleading. Why we need to plead for to Jesus? I think the reason is because spiritual blindness cannot be argued away merely by human persuasion. Spiritual blindness cannot be argued away. You cannot persuade and he become enlightened again. Eyes must be opened by prayer. Eyes must be opened by prayer. After this, Jesus made the move. What did Jesus do? He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. The word took, in a way, the Greek form is a middle voice participle. It carried the sense of a personal involvement, intentional engagement. And this is not just mechanical touching. If we interpret literally, that means having personally taken hold of the blind man. Having personally taken hold of the blind man. That was how this blind man was led outside the village. Jesus does not just heal him on the spot. He holds his hand personally, intentionally, leading him out the village. I wonder along the way, it is supposed to be a gentle journey that Jesus personally engaged him. Once in a while, I caught a cold, and sometimes when I caught a cold, my cough will prolong for quite a while. And the nearest clinic to my place is probably a walking distance. And I used to visit this doctor nearby my place, and whenever I see the doctor, he don't have to see me face to face. He can face the screen and ask me all the routine questions. After all the routine questions, and I think I can repeat the question he asked, he prescribed me with the medication. And it's always the same few medication. And sometimes I have to visit 2 to 3 times in order to get completely healed. So my encounter with him is not as pleasant. I don't feel anything from him because he's talking to me while he's facing the screen. Just like I'm preaching right now. Some of you probably using the handphone. I'm not sure. Are you taking down notes? If you are, God bless you. I think that's good. If you are not, maybe it's good time to have some personal engagement with me because I can see you clearly up here. I'm not sure. Can you see me while you're facing down, looking at the screen? So last year, Raymond recommended a doctor to me that he visited. I brought my child along because my child had been coughing together for months, coughing badly. This doctor I seen, she is a Catholic. So was diagnosing our problem. So she also asked about our life. So she asked about my child, how she doing, all these things. So she asked a lot of questions. Have you seen a doctor until you cried? Yeah, this time my child cried. Teared when the doctor asked her a question. I think as we are about to pay, the doctor just rushed out from the room and asked us, do you need some discount? Well, I was really touched. This doctor don't just prescribe medicine to us. This doctor really care for us. Very intentional to care for us. I can feel the love that she has. We are not just a patient to her, we are a human being to her. So she see our needs and wanting to care, show care to us. And I think that's a glimpse of what Jesus is doing here. He's not a distant healer. He's relationally involved in it, deeply engaged with the blind man he healed. You see, he had taken hold of the blind man personally and guides him personally and remained with him throughout the journey, even all the way outside the village. You see, the blind man cannot see, and he cannot see Jesus, he cannot find Jesus, he even cannot initiate to ask for healing. But grace already began before the sight was healed. And this is the gospel. This is the gospel. I like this verse, and let's read this verse together in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. I like the word utterly helpless. If salvation is dependent on us looking for Jesus, seeking Jesus, I think we can never find God. But instead, it's the other wise, that Jesus came to seek us. The grace over here is God taking hold of the blind man's hand where he cannot see and even can't find him. And he was healed by the grace of God. Some of us, sometimes we may delay of getting to know Christ or even baptized because we think that I need to get myself fixed here before I want to be baptized or believe in Jesus. When we say this, it's simply because we do not see clearly what grace means. We thought grace is we need to wash out first, you need to fix yourself out first, then you're ready for God. I think it is totally the opposite. It is exactly because you are not well, you are not good enough, therefore you need the grace of God. It is what mentioned when we were utterly helpless, Christ had already prepared for us a salvation by dying for us on the cross. Jesus has taken hold the hand of this blind man. I think we are here because someone has invited you, someone has prayed for you, and someone has journeyed with you in your life. And that's why you're here. And all these are evidences of Christ's love pursuing you, even you can respond to him. Our partial sight, we see but not perceiving. We may see but not perceiving. Let's look at the verse 23 and 24. When Jesus healed the blind man first time, and verse 24, he said, he looked out and said, I see people, they look like trees walking around. Mark has a way to play the word here. In Chinese, 我看见, the second word is also 看见, but I think in English, you use see and look. But these are two different Greek words with different meaning. The first Greek word, see, is blaupo, which means physical sight. I can see you physically. Okay. The second word, look, is horao. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. That means perception. How do you interpret your seeing? I can see you looking at your handphone, but I cannot interpret. Are you playing games or are you recording down your sermon? So giving you the benefit of doubt, I trust the better one. So it's how we interpret things that matters. It's not just physical seeing. So it is important. The blind man, he do not just physical see, but how does he interpret things in life? How does he interpret? His perception of things is distorted. He sees, but yet he cannot fully comprehend what he sees. I think Mark has a purpose to use these two wordplay over here to tell us something that seeing may not be perceiving. And this is exactly the context why it is being put here. The first two miracles that happened in the 4,000 and 5,000, even the excess of 12 and 7 baskets full of leftover, the disciples still cannot perceive, still cannot understand who Jesus is. They miss the spiritual insight behind all these miracles. We know that immediately after this healing of the blind man, the next story, it talks about Peter's confession of Christ. When Jesus asked him, who do you think I am? Peter said, you are the Messiah. At the next moment when Jesus told him or told the disciples, I'm going to die, I'm going to be nailed on the cross at Jerusalem, Peter stopped him. You see, Peter may see Jesus, but he never perceived the identity, the mission of Jesus. In a way, Peter rejected Jesus and his mission. I think this is exactly the condition of the disciples. They see physically, but they did not perceive spiritually. They witnessed the miracles. They heard Jesus' teaching. They handled the leftover basket. They follow him daily, but yet they still do not understand. Those who are wearing glasses, I'm not sure, have you changed your glasses with someone before? You try that, huh? You know, all glasses is being personally tailored, your specific degree. Whenever you try on someone's glasses, it's always, although you can see, but it's always blurry and unclear. I think spiritually we live this way also. We know all the Christian vocab, grace, faith, the cross, the gospel. But I think we interpret life, instead of all these things, we interpret life with through fear, control, status, success, worldly security. I think many of us, we have partial sight. And we know God is faithful, and yet we panic. Panic dominates our life. We know Christ is enough, but we live anxiously. We know the cross is the central, but we live the life of everything revolves around us. Like the disciples, they see Christ, but they misinterpret him. Partial sight can be very dangerous because it assumes that we have the clarity, but actually we do not. It assumes we can see clearly, but actually we do not. And that's the danger. We thought our life is okay. But the issue is actually we misinterpret a lot of things in life. That is the danger. But Christ did not leave us there. The last point says that our persistent Savior, he touches us again and again. I like the verse here. Verse 25, it says, once more, Jesus put his hand on the man's side. Jesus did it once already. This is the second time. I think it brings really a lot of comfort. Instead of that, Jesus can say, why you cannot see? Your faith is so small. Something wrong, might be some sin in your life. I really touch you can't see, that must be your problem. Of course, Jesus never say this. So yeah, this is the best English way of saying it. But I see that Jesus used the word once more. I think not just once more. In our life, there's many, many times more. Jesus is so patient with us, and he's so persistent. The same hand that touches sin has the same compassion and the same gentleness. I think that's a challenge to us in the modern Christian culture. The challenge is what? Because we love the once and for all testimony. Those who came out to share their struggles in life. Oh, yes, I've gained victory. I've defeated it, the sin. And this is the kind of once and for all testimony we love to listen to. But actually, life is not like that. We still struggle. We still fight against sin. We still fight against all the things in life that it still can be so overwhelming. It's just whether you share or don't share. It's how you phrase your testimony, that's all. We just want to make it a reality in life. We still struggle, and I still struggle. I think I shared before, a few years ago, something happened in family, I had a sick counselor, and recently I met my counselor, he told me, wow, it's almost 2 years we've seen each other. She's going to close my case, and she referred me to someone else, another thing, deeper level to help me to deal with my issue. I thought I'm done with you already. 2 years. I told her my 2 years, my record is clean. I'm not so-called, I lost my anger. But she suggests to go on deeper. I think that's about life. We dare not go deeper. Because as we uncover more and more, we see the ugliness, the cans of worm more and more in us. If not, then why are we called sinners? That's where we are supposed to be. We are all rotten, right? It's just whether you unveil it or not. I think the problem is because we want to seem as if we can see clearly. We want to cruise life as if we can see clearly. But over here, we are all have partial sight. But Jesus do not want us to stay there. He wants us to touch. So if things came out in your life, I think that is a signal. God is telling you, deal about it. Look for help, whether mentor, whether pastor, whether counselor, outside, anything. I think in Singapore, we are not short of resource. I think God put these people around the blind man. God has his purpose to bring the blind man to Jesus. I believe God has put people in your life. These people, will somehow rather refer you to some help. And there is where we need to seek help and to be open seeking help. Mark deliberately placed this miracle in between the feeding of 4,000 and Peter's confession. I think why? He wants to tell the disciple, you are as blind as this man. You saw the miracles, but you did not understand. Jesus could have opened their eyes instantaneously. He can just snap a finger and they can see the spiritual insight. But Jesus did not do that. Jesus explained again and again. He reminded them again and again. The feeding of 5,000 is 2 times. They still didn't get it. And do it again. Jesus touched the blind man again. And that is how God deals with you, isn't it? God wants to touch you again and again and again. It won't be just once. It'll be probably a lot more times in your life. And why do we need a repeated touch? Why? Why do you need a repeated touch? Even though after you receive grace and healing, you will still need healing again. You thought you're done with it, but God is not done with you. You experience forgiveness when you first believe, but today, sometimes we're still trapped in guilt and condemnation. And Jesus wants to touch you again. Your prayer was answered in the past, but right now you struggle with certain things in your life. You feel stuck there. And Jesus wants to touch you again. You saw how God had guided you in the past clearly, but right now everything seems quite blurry. Jesus will not walk away even when you're blurry. And we lose heart sometimes as Christian journey over so many years as a Christian. We still fight over certain sin. We still fight over certain struggles. And even we serve for a long time, even as a pastor, sometimes I also struggle. Do I really love God to continue on when someone challenges me certain things? I also doubt myself when people challenge me. Oh, then I became, oh, true, huh? It seems that I don't think I love God enough to continue to serve Him. We face all this self-doubt. Sometimes we experience revival, but again, we swing to the dry and emptiness again. So the passage over here is not telling you to get over it, quickly get over it, move on to the next mission and grow up. But I think Jesus over here is telling us that He is not done with you yet. He is not done with you yet. I'm not sure, are you at this age to know this? But in our days, we don't have a digital handphone. We use a film. I'm not sure, you call that film? Yeah. You take a photo, then you need to develop your film. So when you know you want to put your film inside the dark room, the whole room needs to be dark in order not to expose the film. You need to put inside some solution, and slowly the image may come clearer and clearer. The outlines initially is unclear, the shapes is blurry, but you're going to take some time for the image to become clearer and clearer. So in the dark room, you cannot just pull the film and check how's the progress. If you do that, you ruin the whole film, correct? You cannot rush out of the dark room and be impatient. I think we need to trust the photographer. The photographer knows the timing. When you're the image, it will become clearer. And I think this is how God with us. When God want us to go through the sanctification, this will be a whole lifelong process. It's going to be a gradual. Sometimes it can be quite slow. A slow, slow process. And sometimes also, I told my counselor, wow, I've been 2 years with it, so long. I'm not sure how much have I progressed. But it's going to be a slow process. But the question is, are you willing? Are you willing to face it? Or instead, we can just cruise through life, assuming we are okay, we can see clearly. I think the hope that we can have is over the last verse here. When Jesus once again put His hand on the blind man's eye, then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored. And the last word say, and he saw everything clearly. He saw everything clearly. Jesus here is not just to improve his vision. He restored true sight. He restored true sight. Are you willing to let Jesus to restore your true sight? As we become disciples following Jesus over the years, and sometimes we can get discouraged because after over so many years of our faith, we still struggle with fear, we still struggle with pride, loneliness, lust, anger, unforgiveness, doubt, all these things. We keep struggling again and again. But the passage here today reminds us, Jesus has never stopped working. The gospel, we believe, will one day completely heal us. The same Christ who first touches you, he's continuing working in you, in your life. And your vision right now may seem blurry, but he's still holding your hand gently and wait, wanting to heal you. He's not finished with you yet. The key thing is, are you willing to confess to Jesus that you're still blurry with your vision? Are you willing to tell Jesus your vision is still not clear? It takes so much for the disciples to learn this thing. Even over here, Jesus purposely used this blind man as a teaching parable to tell the disciples. Even after all this incident, the disciples still don't get it. I think this is very true of us. How much more have to happen, things have happened to us in order to confess that our vision is blurry. The hope we have, even though it can be blurry and on this earth, but one day the gospel promised us we can see things clearly. Let's read this verse together as I invite the worship team out. Then we're going to sing as a response to God. And let's read this 1 Corinthians 13 together. 1, 2, 3. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, and then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Let's take this time to respond to the Lord and what we have heard. What is God telling you today?